Picture this. Comes in later.
Oh, were we right. supposed to?
Yeah, that was the start. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tyler Am, and welcome to the first episode ever of Picture This. This is a brand new podcast where me and three of my friends, we talk about our own movie ideas, because everybody has a great movie idea, but we actually write it down, and it's always shit. My name is Tyler Am. I am a sociology major, so I have no idea what I'm talking about. I just love movies. I got three of my friends here. Mark.
Hello.
Explain yourself.
Oh, jeez. I'm Mark. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm starving to death while I try to make movies for a living. It's awesome. I also went to film school at Columbia College in Chicago with Trevor.
And that's my name. I'm living in Central Illinois, not making movies, but I also went to film school, the same film school as Mark.
Plus you work at a movie theater, so that gives you some leverage.
There you go. So I see damn near everything that's released, simply because it's just a matter of sticking around later after work and watching movies. And someone I've met, I think, three times, his name's Scott Kane, and he is currently eating potato chips.
So Scott, you caught... Damn it, that was bad timing. You caught me right when I was eating a potato chip. Hi, I'm Scott. I was unemployed over the summer, so I had a chance to watch a lot of movies. And also, I watched them before I was unemployed, too.
Plus, your dad's really nice.
Yeah, my dad's nice. And I live in New York. I actually just got a job, though, by the way.
What? Where?
Yeah, it's bringing it on the podcast. But that's let's not... talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Let's save that for off air.
Uh-oh.
Is it an adult job?
Sweat work.
It's a decent job.
Well, how can you relate it to movies?
And how are those chips?
My life is like a movie.
It relates in that he will be paid in American currency, which he can use to go watch movies.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's just like Sex in the City, the movie.
Perfect.
The guys in that movie, I guess, not the
guys.
The girls.
The one man.
I would see another sequel to Sex and the City just starring the guys.
Yeah. Just Chris North or Chris North.
Wait, I'm thinking Sex and the City 3, the Hangover 3 crossover.
Oh my god. Yep.
Sex and a Hangover.
It's a story of nobody's life on this podcast.
How about it? Jeez.
Oh god. Well,
speaking of movies.
Yeah, Trevor, tell us about the most recent movie you've seen.
Well, the most recent I finished this morning. I rented via iTunes Video on Demand the comedy starring Tim
Heidecker.
Heidecker and Eric Wareheim. Wareheim?
I think it's Warehouse.
Yep. and Eric Warehouse. I was not particularly a fan. I mean, I appreciate what they were going for, but I wanted to discuss something. I don't know. Who's all seen it? Is it just you, Tyler?
I've seen it.
Yeah,
okay.
And I will give you the most constructive criticism that I can, because I am the biggest fan of Tim and Eric Awesome Show, Billion Dollar Movie, Check It Out with Steve Brule, all their shows. I love them, but this movie was something else.
Yeah, and I'm not really... I mean, I don't hate Tim and Eric. Like, it seems like a lot of people do. I'm kind of indifferent to them. Like, I genuinely think a good chunk of what they do is really great. But this, I don't know, but one of the things I want to talk about was, should everybody be classifying this as, like, one of their, I don't want to say franchises, but one of their, you know, big things, like Awesome Show and Billion Dollar Movie, because there wasn't... they came in pretty late into the process. It's not like this was their idea for a movie and they directed it, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, it sounds weird. Like, I kind of want to see it if they weren't in it. If it was two other guys, or I guess one other guy. Tim's, you know, in it the most.
But I what I'm assuming is the director, I can't remember his name, I'm sure that
Rick Alverson.
Yeah, he probably watched their show
and
had modeled that character, not after him, but like Tim sort fit of the bill.
Yeah.
And
I read that he had this idea for basically this movie and then really liked their very, you know, awkward weird brand of comedy and approach them. But I don't know. I just thought it was interesting because I've heard about this since when it was at Sundance back in January, I think. So I've been hearing about it for almost a year, and I just always assumed, like, oh, this is, you know, a Tim and Eric production. You know what I mean? Like, and I knew that it wasn't, that it was not a really a comedy, that it was this weird drama about, you know, hipsters, if you want to call them hipsters.
That's what most of the internet is saying.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking whenever he would pop on his sky blue aviators. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I can appreciate what they were trying to do, but it seems like myself, along with everybody else that's watched it, just, I don't know, not for us, I guess.
Well, it really says something when somebody sees this movie and would rather see the main character wearing a pair of D-pants, which is from their sketch show where it's this pair of pants you wear under your pants and you can shit in them. So, just in case you have diarrhea. I would prefer to watch that than this movie. So, yeah. No offense, Tim Heidecker or Eric Warehouse.
So neither of you liked it?
No.
No, it was
interesting.
It was like an art house movie wrapped in really vulgar language.
So it was more like a fart house movie.
Well,
sure.
And now our show has jumped the shark, and it's just going to be downhill from here. Yeah.
Well, has anybody else watched any worthwhile movies before we get into the gist of the show?
I watched Skyfall.
Yeah, how
was that? Skyfall was really good.
Yes, it was.
I really enjoyed it. They found the right balance between, like, old, kind of goofy, really big Bond and, like, new, gritty Daniel Craig Bond. And it's got both of it, and it's really good, and it's really clean and really beautifully shot. And,
I guess I didn't always think, because I didn't think about it, but as soon as I saw that, what's the cinematographer's name?
Oh, Mark? It's the guy.
Coen Brothers guy.
Deakins.
Yes, Roger Deakins.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the best.
Yeah.
Like, his movies look incredible. And, yeah, this is, like, the best-looking Bond.
Yeah.
I think, I would say ever.
Pretty much every scene has at least one shot that I would easily, like, pay to frame and hang on my wall. It's just,
yeah, and just the first shot of Javier Bardem is fantastic.
Oh, he's terrifying! He's like a... like,
and it's
eight,
so long. It's
on,
one...
like, the, on, like, the Michael Shannon crazy scale, he, like, is like an 8, almost a 9. He's really going for it.
Does it look better than GoldenEye on 64?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
But that's the kind of audience you're pandering to.
It looks
to
better
right
than
now.
The CGI Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
TMNT?
Yeah. But not better than Madagascar 2.
Of course. Or 3. Mark, did I see that you also saw a Cloud Atlas?
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't know if...
Well, I mean, that could be its own episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could talk about that for like an hour. I'm buying it. It's got some it's got some flaws. It's peddling some bullshit, but I'm kind of buying it. It's lovely. It's just very much like is a celebration of love and humanity. And just like all the shit. It's like it's too goofy and too silly, but it feels good to watch it.
Exactly.
And yeah, I liked it.
So it's Woodstock 2?
Yeah, it's exactly Woodstock 2, Napoleon Dynamite, the TV series 2.
What? But it's like 6 of those movies intercut.
Exactly.
So. Scott, you seen anything good recently?
Yeah, I saw Safety Not Guaranteed, actually.
I haven't seen it yet. Which, I
absolutely loved. I usually don't get into, like, well, I mean, not always, but, like, cutesy movies like that, kind of, like, twee indie movies, but it had just the right tone, I think, and I was really surprised by Aubrey Plaza. Like, I mean, I guess it wasn't a really, you know, extremely dramatic role. It was still kind of goofy, and she played sort of the same character she always plays, but there were definitely a bunch of scenes where she had to actually act, and I think she did really well. And that guy, what's his name?
Mark Duplass?
Yeah, who I was surprised by, too, like, because I guess I only really know him from The League.
It's weird to see him.
This goofy character, and he also, like, that was a really...
I didn't realize
and he really
he,
pulled off.
No. Go continue.
What?
I said continue.
No. That was.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize when I started watching the League that he was the one of the Duplass.
Yeah,
brothers.
The directors. Yeah.
Like I had no idea. That was like inconceivable to me.
Right.
I don't know. I guess I never really paid too much attention to what they would look or act or sound like.
Right.
And then I noticed it was him, and that blew my mind. But yeah, I really want to see that. And that's one of the ones I kind of just forgot about. Because, I mean, it never came to our theater, so...
Right, yeah.
It's not there. I gotta wait.
Attention.
Yeah. Not out here, middle of nowhere. So...
All right.
Tyler?
Well, that's our movie news.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The segment of the show you will fast forward through in future episodes.
Probably.
But,
You probably go back and fast forward through it in this episode, too.
But this is the best part of the show where one of the four of us in each episode will pitch a movie idea that we have. And since this is the first episode, I went a little too far and did like a really long outline.
And I filmed my entire feature.
I filmed it. I got producers and a budget. It's doing great.
It'll be available on video on demand in 2 weeks.
It's Cloud Atlas is what he made.
Yeah. He is all three directors.
What I asked for is I asked for a couple of prompts for my outline. I need a little bit of help. And if you guys don't remember what you guys gave me, Scott, you told me that I should have a character that is from the 90s, but it's present day, but for some reason is just like can't get over it and loves it.
He's got a 90s mentality, but he's set in the present day and
Trevor, you said that you wanted the main character to have a revelation in a Burger King bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to that.
Oh, come on.
I couldn't get the funding from Burger King.
We've got to come up with punishments, like bad shit that happens if you do not follow the rules.
Or just freestyle, jam it into your movie.
Okay.
Yeah, you still got time.
Even if it doesn't work at all.
I'll explain this later. I can totally make it work now. I'm so proud of myself. Mark.
This is what they call a eureka moment.
Yes. Exactly.
Are you in the bathroom right now at Burger King?
Yeah. And then Mark, you told me that this should be like the premise should be like a magical wish fulfillment movie.
Yes.
Kind of like Freaky Friday or what other ones are there?
17 again. 13
yeah,
going
like
on
that.
30.
So I kind of went along that lines. I'm gonna prep you guys for this. This is basically kind of a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China. All
right. Don't forget to say picture this before you start pitching.
Okay, I will do
that's
that.
That's our thing.
But should I do the title? I don't know what to start with.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It's a pitch. It's totally up to you. You can end with the title. You can start with the
I'm
title.
I'm going
to
end with the title.
You can start
he's
with
never
like, describing a scene.
He's never done this.
Wait, so do I need to remember what happens at the
Trevor
end?
Trevor and I have like had to pitch for school before. I've had to like pitch to actual producers. I forgot that you guys don't actually know what this is.
Yeah. Just so you know, every idea I bring to you, it's always the title's going to be The Aristocrats. So,
which was one of my suggested titles for the podcast.
Yes, after we went through like 30.
Well, that was a couple beers deep at the wedding. So.
Should have been Aristocats.
Yes, no. Yes, Aristocats too.
Yeah,
that's a really good
one. China.
All right, so here I'm ready. I'm sure I'll add a drum sound in post. All right. Picture this. Yeah. All right, the movie opens up on Chris, played by Chris Hemsworth. Shut up! Come on, man. I have original ideas. he's getting ready in the morning. All right, it's a montage of shots of him brushing his teeth, showering, getting dressed, just like every movie.
Yeah.
Okay. While he's doing this, he has this like frozen expression of extreme happiness. It's like really unsettling and confusing. And while this is happening, he does a voiceover explaining that he has anger issues, and that he always used to suppress it, but after getting dumped by his most recent girlfriend, he's just been, like, letting out all his violence, and is really looking forward to one day that's just anger-free, no violence, no problems. Alright? So it's the end of the montage. He goes up to the mirror while adjusting his hair, and he says, "Today is going to be the day I'm finally gonna do it." Alright? He's finally gonna have a good day.
I bet.
So he leaves his bedroom, opening credits end, he walks out, he's getting ready to leave the house, and his dad stops him and asks if he wants breakfast. Chris explains that he can't, or else he'll be late for class, you know, it's typical, you know, morning bullshit.
Wait, how old is he supposed to be?
Oh, he's like 23, and he goes to community college.
Okay. But more importantly, how old is his dad?
Oh, his dad is, you know, like 48, but he's played by Kevin Spacey.
You nailed it.
Okay. Well, I just like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Wait, so who doesn't?
I guess Chris Hemsworth isn't that old, but like
he's 29.
just deduct 6 years in post. He'll look fine.
It's fine. You can do that.
He did it in Cabin Fever. He looks great. Let's go.
Put a backwards baseball cap on him.
Anyways, he leaves and meets his two friends, Gary and Richard. They get into Gary's car. Gary is played by Channing Tatum. All right, we got a couple of hunks.
You get the ladies going into this show.
Then I don't know how to explain this one, but Richard is Zach Galifianakis. So
perfect. Hey, listen, that's just continue. Never mind.
If you've got the budget for it, that's fine.
I had a thought and it was gone. Continue.
Yeah. All right. On the way to class, Chris gets upset because while they're at an intersection, Gary pulls up to the intersection at the same time another car does. Gary waves the car on, but the other car waves them on. All right, so it's one of those really dumb situations. And Chris is really, he's having a hard time with it. Like, he can't deal with, like, those really awkward, annoying situations. So Chris rolls down his window and begins screaming, "Go! Go!" to the other car. And the other guy in the other car just waves harder. So Gary's like, okay, I'm just going to go. And as he begins to move, Chris yanks down the wheel and says, "No. We wave first. He has to go." All right? So basically, we're starting to understand that Chris just, like, he's really deep into, like, those social scripts. Like, what happens, happens, and it's just got to be that way. Otherwise, he gets really pissed off. So the other car continues waving. So Chris gets out and starts walking towards it in a threatening manner.
Now, what kind of car is this?
They're in, like, some junker car. The other car maybe is in, like, an SUV or something. Okay. Like, a bigger car. So anyways, the person in the other car gets scared, throws it in reverse, and crashes into the car behind it. Chris begins shouting, and that is why you move forward when you are waved. While he's saying that, the other car takes off and flees the scene, okay? A middle-aged woman comes out of the car that was hit and begins explaining to Chris and his friends that they will have to pay for her car. So she calls Gary out, because he's the one driving, and says that because Chris got out of his car, he is responsible for all of his actions and asked for his insurance information. So it's just one of those situations where, like, somebody really doesn't understand, like, no, it's not their fault. And, like, it's the idiot in front of you, but, like, they just want, you know, reparations. That's the wrong word. They want reparations.
No, I'm only picturing...
Is this a Spike Lee movie?
I'm only picturing Gary Spike the Pokemon Jones. Trainer as the Gary character.
Like, that's fine.
Can we get the rights to that costume and make that happen? Yes. Also, is the whole movie going to take place at this anymore? Intersection? Because I think that would
no,
be good. I think that would be funny,
moving.
Though.
I'm moving.
All right, please put all the scenes at this intersection.
Okay, so Gary starts making loud fart noises. Chris gets back in the car, and they're taking off. While they're leaving, the lady's writing down this is just a joke in the movie. The lady's writing down the license plate number. Richard, which is played by Zach Galifianakis, is leaning out the car window, just screaming, 4-4-4-4, to try and confuse her into writing the wrong number.
That's good.
That's good. So anyways, what I like mostly is that the character has to constantly be referred to as Richard, played by Zach Galifianakis.
Okay.
That's his
so Gary and Richard, played by Zach Galifianakis, try to have a heart-to-heart with Chris about his problems and his anger and how it has gotten worse, you know, since, like, he got dumped, and he really needs to work on it. So anyways, cut to class. Chris is sitting there annoyed because of all these things that are happening. There's a guy in the back of the class who's just, like, clearing his throat and stuff. There's a girl eating crackers in the middle of class. And it's,
what about chips?
Or chips, courtesy of Scott. And then the teacher's going through the slides way too fast. They can't take the notes. And, like, she constantly keeps saying, okay, while I get the next slide ready, let's take a 40-second break, which is just stupid because that actually happened in one of my classes all the time. I hated it. Anyways, suddenly Chris turns and uppercuts the girl who's eating the crackers in the boob with one arm while crushing his other fist into her head, all right? He pulls out a rocket launcher and fires it at the teacher, and the rocket is actually a fist wearing brass knuckles, all right? So, like, things are starting to get really out of hand fast, and, like, you're like, what? How did this happen? What's going on? Nobody knows what's going on. And then suddenly, just before the rocket hits the teacher, she turns to Chris and says, "Hey, bro, you're getting my crotch wet." And then, like, and suddenly, boom, Chris suddenly snaps out of his daydream in the middle of class while Gary complains of him drooling all over his crotch, all right? So we get it. Chris is having serious issues with, like, just, like, really annoying things. He can't take it. He's having some anger issues. Gary asks him what's wrong. Chris says, you know, I can't stand all this annoying shit that goes on in class. It's like, I'm not even paying attention, so I'm just going to bail. So Chris hangs outside the class. He's waiting for his friend, and this cute girl sits by him. They make small talk. You know, she's actively into him, whatever. But while Chris is flirting, his focus is caught by the conversation of, like, two freshmen, like a boy and a girl having a stupid conversation. And, like, the girl is just, like, the little freshman girl is like, ooh, you should get a tattoo of, like, a rhino on your shoulder. And just, like, dumb stuff where it's just, like, you can't listen to it because you're adults now. This is 29-year-old Chris Hemsworth as a 23-year-old in college can't take
it. And then what?
Well, he starts... He starts vomiting all over the place because he can't handle it. Like, he's getting so frustrated with life and angry. It's freaking him out.
The connection has been lost. Hopefully everyone is still recording.
So he goes outside and he waits for Gary and Richard and explains, like, guys, I'm just throwing up all over the place because I can't take things anymore.
What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
I just disappeared. The connection got dropped.
Oh. Anyways, Chris was talking to this cute girl, listening, overhearing this really dumb conversation by this freshman couple, and throws up everywhere because he can't take it. Okay? So he bails out of the school, meets up with Gary and Richard, and they're just like, they don't know what to do, they can't handle it, but they want to celebrate the upcoming 3-day weekend, so they go get Chinese food. All right.
Well, we gotta commemorate it.
This is where things start happening, guys. All right.
Oh, now I'm hungry though.
They finish eating their Chinese food and they're brought out the fortune cookies. Chris is caught off guard by this baby that's sitting in a booth across from him that won't stop staring at him, and it's making him really mad. So he starts thinking to himself as he's like opening up the fortune, opening up the wrapper. He's not cracking the fortune cookie. He's just opening the wrapper. Okay. He begins to think to himself, I wish I could slap that baby. I wish I could just shut its face. People are fucking stupid. I can't stand them. I wish I could hit everyone. And then the big line, I wish I lived in a world where I could fuck things up. And as he says that, he doesn't even think. He just puts the whole fortune cookie in his mouth and swallows it. And begins, he begins choking, all right? He didn't crack it open. He didn't take the fortune paper out. He just swallows it whole, okay? He's choking, and then he chokes the whole thing down. All right,
because he's Chris Hemsworth.
Yes, he's Chris Hemsworth. All right,
he's Thor.
Now that's an important plot point: the fact that he didn't read the fortune and just swallowed the cookie whole when he was saying that line, which I'll repeat. I wish I lived in a world where I could fuck things up.
He's gonna dig that fortune out of his poop later, isn't he?
God damn it! Come on,
I know you
got the Burger King bathroom coming.
Let me finish.
It's fine.
All right. So he goes back to his house and he's not feeling good. You know, he's stumbling out of the car. He gets in the house. He shuts the door. He immediately passes out and just lands on the floor. All right. Suddenly he starts hearing like a ding dong, ding dong. The doorbell's ringing. All right. He wakes up. It's night. There's someone at the door. And he finds a note on himself, and it says, "You look tired, son, so I left you there and ordered a pizza and a soda for you. This is your dad, Kevin Spacey." I didn't say that last bit, but anyways. So Chris answers the door, and there's just like this sloppy, you know, trailer trash-looking girl there. "Here's your za pizza," in slang terms. "Here's your za. That'll be $16. Chris pays her and accepts the pizza. He opens the box, and he looks at it. It's like you could tell, like it just like fell. Like all the slices are on top of each other, and one piece looks like it has like a bite missing out of it. So he asks why it is like that, and she's just like super snotty and be like, "You know, it's not my problem. Just call the store or something." And then he's like, "Well, you didn't even give me my soda. Where's the soda?" And she's like, "I must have forgotten it. I'll bring it around at the end of my shift." All right. So Chris is super pissed off now, and to make matters worse, she's been like chomping on gum the whole time. So it's just like those small social things. He's just like, can't take it. So he asks her to stop chomping the gum, and she just tells him to fuck off and turns and starts walking towards her car. Well, suddenly everything starts to go like dark. There's a red glow fills the area. Street lights are going out, and then a thick fog
is that
starts
some kind
surrounding
of creature?
The fog comes down the street.
A fog surrounds the area that the scene is centered on. All right. She turns, she's walking towards a car, and while she's doing that, Chris runs at her full speeds and drop kicks her into her Volkswagen Jetta. Alright. Her head caves in as it smashes the passenger side door and the window. All of her teeth fall out and her arms are, like, dislocated. Right? Chris immediately realizes what he did. He begins, like, checking to see if she's okay or even alive. He's, like, panicking, cradling her body, thinking he killed her. Then suddenly he's, like, thrown back, you know, like, pulled back, like, by, like, some sort of pulley system. You don't see the pulley system. That's, like, the, you know, whatever, special effects.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Alright.
Wire tricks.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Chris watches as her, as she starts moving in slow motion, and her body reenacts what just happened, but in reverse. Okay? Her teeth are flying into her mouth, her head pops back into shape, and her arms crunch into place. She walks backwards to the door, the pizza flies in her hand, and then the money flies into his hand, and she begins engaging in dialogue with what was Chris, but there's nobody there now, and then walks backwards into her car with the pizza. Chris realizes, like, there's the lights are coming back on, the fog is starting to recede, so he runs into his house and shuts the door. He's like, what the hell just happened? All right? The doorbell rings, and it's the pizza girl again. The same scenario starts acting out, so he just throws the money at her and just screams, yeah, you're doing a great job, thanks, and then shuts the door. Okay? He watches through the window, and she's standing there, like, super confused for a second, but, like, she just, like, turns and walks away unharmed. And Chris is like, what just happened? I just destroyed that girl. I caved her head in. You know, I did something that would put me in jail for life. You know. So anyways, he calls his friends over, Gary and Richard, played by Zach Galifianakis. He tells them what happened. Like, they don't believe him or anything. And then Chris realizes, like, this all happened after I got really mad. So he convinces Gary and Richard to piss him off. Like so he can show them what happened. All right? So Richard immediately begins chomping his mouth, waving his arms, and quacking like a duck, and that does nothing. Richard or Gary tries punching him and stuff. That doesn't work. Then Richard says, "You have a tiny penis." And then immediately the lights go out, room glows red, fog surrounds the house, and Gary watches in horror as Chris punches Richard so hard that he flies into the wall, like creating a hole. Pictures are falling off of it, and then, you know, moments later, everything flies back into place and everything's okay. And Richard continues what he was saying about his tiny penis. He's like, so what do you think about that, Stuart Little's penis? And stuff. That was a dumb joke.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
I apologize to...
to all the moms listening.
To all the moms listening. Anyways.
To mice everywhere.
Anyways, Gary exclaims that he saw what happened, and it was awesome. So they deduce that only people who are the direction of Chris's anger are affected by, like, this weird effect. They wonder how this happened, and then Chris remembers, oh my god, I swallowed that fortune cookie. I bet it has something to do with that, some of that voodoo Chinese stuff. So the next shot is of Chris on the toilet with Gary and Richard watching. Mark spoiled it, but they wait for him to poop out the fortune and sift through the poop, and surprisingly, the piece of paper is still intact.
Yeah.
All right. That was going to be, you know, the twist, but Mark ruined it.
I'm sorry, I just had the idea that you had. Also, is that baby from the Chinese restaurant coming back?
Shit, now it is. So Chris opens up the fortune, wipes the doo-doo off, and reads it aloud, and it says, "Releasing your anger is a healthy way to make mistakes and never pay."
Mm.
Ooh. They all look at each other and smile. Cut to a montage of Chris going to people who really irritate him and beating them up, and then watching as the scene resets itself. While this is happening, he slowly realizes that he can, like, conjure up weapons and elements, you know, and just, like... It's just basically, like, living out those moments in life where, like, obviously I have these issues where, like, somebody's, like, chewing too loud, or, like, somebody's, like, keeps clearing their throat, and I just, like, want to, like, lob a hand grenade at them or something. It's just, like, ugh! All right, it's a few days later, Chris is back in class again. He's experiencing all those, like, uncomfortable things, annoying things, right? He begins preparing to destroy everyone in the room. And you can see the excitement on his face as he gets his brass knuckle fist rocket launcher and aims it at the teacher. But as he does so, he realizes that everybody in the room is disappearing. All the color of the wall on the walls and the chairs is peeling off. And everybody's like, oh my god, what's going on?
They're going to Silent Hill.
Thank you. I just watched the sequel, okay? And that's where I got that from.
Yeah.
Everybody disappears.
That belongs in movie news.
Well, the listener can rewind and put it there and then fast forward again.
Yeah.
Anyways, he walks around the school. There's nobody there. It's like this really, like, almost post-apocalyptic looking place. It's really disturbing. It's Silent Hill. he leaves the school. He's wandering through town. He can't find anybody, so he decides to look for Gary and Richard. Right? And he finds them at like some local hangout. It could be an arcade, a pizza place, or the YWCA. So anyways, they're frozen there. But then as soon as they enter his, I'm going to call this Chris's Field of Fury, they regain consciousness and excitedly jump up, expecting to watch a beatdown because they know what's going on. You know, but Chris explains that there's nobody around anymore. He doesn't know what happened. All right? The three friends are walking around town trying to find an explanation when Chris realizes he forgot to check on his dad, right? So they go to the bank where he works, and they find him sitting in his office. And Chris decides, okay, he's fine. I'm going to leave him, you know. But this is weird because, like, the people I care about are still alive. And they deduce that Chris hates everybody, literally everybody, so they all disappeared. And they don't know what to do, so they just decide to just hang out for a bit. They're just, like, inadvertently firing rocket launchers and grenades, destroying things while eating pudding cups that they took from a grocery store or something. When suddenly, dun-dun-dun, a figure begins to slowly form out of the fog down the street. All right? This may be reminiscent of an early shot in the first Silent Hill movie. It is a bloated man, puffed up with little arms and legs, slowly making his way towards them. All right? They're like, okay, stop, you know, what are you doing? Stop shambling toward us. Chris walks towards him with a shotgun outstretched. He's like, you know, stop or I'm going to shoot you. And then he's like, he sees that this guy is like really screwed up. He looks weird, like not of this world. The bloated man stops a few feet short of Chris and manages to like squeak out like a tiny burp. That was my own sound effects.
Thank you.
When suddenly he ruptures and explodes, all right? The windows are blown out. Chris and his friends are sent flying back and all that stuff. But then suddenly, as they're collecting themselves, the pieces of this guy start to come back together.
Yeah. He's made out of Legos.
So he comes back together, and he approaches them again, explodes, all right? Explodes again. Starts piecing back together.
Wait, so are they getting hurt every time he explodes, or...?
Yeah, it's more like an air thing. It's not like an explosion. It's just like they just get knocked
back. It's like a cartoon explosion.
Yeah, so Gary's like, screw this. This is Channing Tatum. He's a handsome man. He's like, screw this, and he stabs him with an assault rifle that has a bayonet on it, right? And these things, it's not like the Green Lantern where it's like, it's all green and it looks stupid. These are actual weapons. They will kill you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, he stabs the guy, and the bloated man deflates, and you know ends with a fart, obviously.
He doesn't
come back together. All right, so they're starting to see that okay, the only way we can stop these things, this guy from coming back is we have to kill him, we have to be angry, and then they hear all these shuffling feet of other creatures, you know, coming out of the woodworks, you know, and blah, 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 blah. They have to destroy them. So a montage of a rage fight, you know, ridiculous weapons against equally as ridiculous beasts and hell spawns and stuff like that. Well, they're fighting, you know, it's a cool action sequence, but then they get tired. And this is where traversing comes into play. I originally said that they decided to take refuge in a Chipotle, but instead it will be a Burger King to make Trevor happy.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think Chipotle works better with this plot. I don't think you can just jam Burger King in there. It's not a quick fix.
Well, I mean, there was a metaphor because there's a lot of explosions and things, and Chipotle explode out your ass.
I'm sorry. I thought the revelation in the bathroom in the Burger King bathroom was when he got the fortune cookie. I just assumed that was happening in a Burger King.
Yeah.
No.
The fortune cookies at Burger King.
Since when do they have Chinese food at Burger King?
No, the time he has to dig the fortune out of his poop.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's going to be
so
hours.
So they have
after
Chinese, and then they go later to have Burger King.
Yeah, perfect.
That makes sense.
Whatever.
And anyways, so what happens is they're hanging out in this Burger King, all right? And I guess apparently they're all sitting in the bathroom in their own stalls or something talking. All right.
That's kind of funny.
I'm glad that's funny. All right, so anyways, they're talking about Chris and his anger problems, and they deduce that, you know, Chris was much happier before he got dumped. All right? So the friends, they fight their way to the ex-girlfriend's house. They're like, we've got to get to the ex-girlfriend's house and figure out what's going on, all right? She's super rich. It's on, like, the top of, like, a, you know, spooky hill. She lives in this huge manor, all right? And maybe, like, they take a short bus and it's got rockets on it or something stupid. All right. They reach the house and they see that all the monsters are, like, congregating there. This is the hive. This is the nest, all right? They sneak in there. You know, there can be, like, a couple, you know, shots of, like, slipping on bananas or farting and almost alerting the monsters to their presence or something. Anyways, they get in there. They get in the ballroom and they see Tracy, the ex-girlfriend, played by Emma Stone. She has her back to them.
Played by
all
Tracy
right?
Morgan.
Played by Tracy Morgan.
Yo, Chris, I'm sorry, I told you.
I'm playing Tracy Morgan.
That's good.
That was pretty
offensive. I know.
They have
that's how he speaks. I'm sorry.
She has her back to them, and they approach her, and Chris is like, why is this happening? She goes on to explain that Chris's anger has been consuming him and has consumed the world entirely, all right? He hates everything, therefore the world has turned on him.
Metaphor.
Chris explains that he hates everything because she left him. Pause. Everybody's like, Gary and Richard are like, oh, man, this is really awkward. Chris is distraught. His ex-girlfriend dumped him. He really loved her. But he says that he's upset because she left him before he could dump her. All right? You guys getting this? Yeah, all right.
Continue.
There's a twist happening here. Gary and Richard look at each other and are like, what? What is this? Like, and then Chris explains that he wanted to dump her, but when he went to do it, she did it before he could. All right? And we'll wait a second because Mark is gone.
Yes.
We can just pick it back up.
Yeah. So,
do I keep going or?
Nah.
Is that him knocking?
Mark, where are you, my son? It's just gonna be. It started at like minute 36. If you want to make a note and just like chop the audio for everyone.
Is there a limit for Audacity? Because mine stopped. I don't know if I hit something, but it stopped and I had to start a new thing.
You didn't miss any of your dialogue, did you?
I don't know. Like there might be a delay. Like,
oh shit,
a gap between. I know, like, I don't know what happened.
You can edit it later and fix it.
Hey, he's back.
All right, anyways. So, bum bum bum. He wanted to dump her before she could dump him, but that's not how it played out. And so Gary and Richard are like, okay, wait, now this is just getting stupid. All right, Chris explains that he wanted to dump her, but when he went to do it, she did it before he could. She explains that she knew he was going to do it, because she could tell that he just wasn't into her.
Uh-oh.
Just not that much into you.
And so it turns into that movie.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It just picks up right there. But anyways, at this point, she turns around to reveal herself. She's looking beautiful. She looks great. It's Emma Stone. She's a beautiful woman.
It's Emma Stone played by Tracy Morgan.
Yep. And so she says, I wanted you, Chris. I wanted you bad. But you just wouldn't let me in. Things were going so good, you just threw it all away. Why? Why? And then Chris, out of frustration, shouts, because of your lazy eye! And then Gary and Richard are like, what? And then maybe even there's a shot of like one of the monsters walking around outside being like, what? Or something. So anyways, Chris explains that one time when they were skating at the roller rink, he was totally in love with her, but her contact fell out and revealed that she had a lazy eye.
Oh.
Okay, now you see, it's kind of coming full circle where Chris really hated stuff like people clearing their throat, and chewing too loud, you know, and he just has a problem with this lazy eye. It shouldn't be that big of a deal, but it is. All right. Anyways, she was a special contact to cover it up. It's revealed. He's distraught. You know, Gary and Richard are like, Chris, that's really petty and shallow that you wanted to dump her just because of that. But then Tracy removes the contact in her eye in this moment and reveals her lazy eye, and it's weird. It's, like, pointed downwards instead of, like, inwards. And it's just gross. The guy's out, and they're like, okay, we're sorry, Chris. No, you have every right to be that way. All right? But then she's coming forward. She's, like, doing, you know, doing some really meaningful monologue where she's, like, turning in. Maybe she's even turning some beast. She removes the contact from her other eye and reveals another lazy eye. And maybe this one's, like, it's, like, it moves or something. It's just, or just, like, wandering.
It's got little worms in it.
It's black.
Like, and the entire thing is black.
All right, so anyways, she removes this other thing. Like, not even a beat in between. They, all three guys, Chris, Gary, Richard, played by Zach Galifianakis, all instantly start shooting her. Okay, rockets, bullets, shells, grenades. They just destroy her immediately. Okay?
Okay.
Sure.
And then suddenly, things start disappearing. The monsters start going away. The walls start going back to normal. Things are changing and going back to the way it was. And then they find themselves standing in Tracy's home, you know, in this manor. It's morning, and she's sitting there eating breakfast in the ballroom. And they're like, she's excited to see Chris, and they realize that it's weeks earlier before Chris got dumped. Okay? So Chris dumps her. The three friends jump through a window together, and it's the end.
What? That's the end? I don't understand.
Okay. Now, hold on a second.
Are they okay? Did they get hurt when they jumped out the window?
Hold on. Credits happen. Post-credits scene. Mm-hmm. All right. They're all in the hospital because they sustained severe cuts to their body. Okay. When suddenly, Chris's sister comes running in that I'm just adding to the script now. She runs in and she says, Chris, Dad is dead. What are we going to do? Because
our dad, Kevin Spacey, is dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Dad, Kevin Spacey's dead. And then she's like, what are we going to do? Because maybe something can happen that won't make that happen. And then Chris gets really angry. All right? It ends in a rage shot where he's going to go back and get his dad. And this is then the sequel happens where Chris's dad, they have to go back to the 90s and save Chris's dad. All right?
Wait a minute. Is this you getting around my thing
it's finally
that you were supposed to include in the actual movie and not a possible sequel?
but then you think it's a whole movie itself.
It's just about that kid.
It's just about Chris and his buddies and maybe even his sister and maybe like Richard played by Zach Galifianakis gets with Chris's sister.
Maybe Kevin Spacey. Wait a minute, hold on. But going back to the 90s.
Yes. Chris rages so hard that he goes back in time.
Then the 90s kid doesn't work.
Well, they're going to steal a kid. No. They're going to steal a kid out of the 90s.
No, this is bullshit.
You got to steal a kid out of the 90s, bring him back to modern day.
Yeah, do it in reverse. Just, that's all I care about, that you do exactly what
okay,
I said.
Okay, okay, how about this? How about this? How about this? Chris Hemsworth from the 90s, so he's like a teenager, rages to the future
to meet
modern day Chris, okay, and then takes them back.
Why doesn't modern day Chris remember the time that he did that in his own past?
Because things are different now.
It's a time.
Because it's Looper rules.
Yeah, he has to cross.
Time travel doesn't work how it's supposed to.
Exactly.
Whoa, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
So anyways, what do you guys think?
What's it called?
Okay. This is the title, and get it. You're going to love it, all right? It's entitled Fortune Kooky. Like cookie, but it's kooky?
Okay, because I didn't get that at first. But now that you've explained
it. Just pronouncing it cutely.
Yeah, and then the sequel will be Fortune Kooky 2, Rage to the Past.
I wouldn't be surprised if Star Wars 7 was Episode 7, Rage to the Past. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Alright, what did you guys think?
So it's kind of like Groundhog Day meets The Last Airbender, is what I'm getting.
Meets Shallow Hell.
Yeah.
Meets Silent Hill.
Someone whistling?
No, that's... Was there something like outside your window or something?
Oh, that might be my... I think that's my radiator.
Or it's just my brain from farting
it's just
out that
the
idea.
City of New York.
Yeah, weird ambient
this
New York.
This is New
sounds.
York.
Concrete jungle, was rape better. I don't know the lyrics.
Well, I'm glad you guys like my movie idea.
Yeah. So what kind of budget are we looking at for that?
Well, we got some big names in here. We got some hot guys. Channing Tatum was just named the sexiest man.
Is that true? Ooh. Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah, that's gonna be another million and probably a couple Starbucks gift cards.
Yeah,
he loves bucks.
I'm thinking we can do this for 32 mil.
Yeah, like 32 bucks. That's about what I could donate towards this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the vivid imagery, could you guys really picture what I was saying actually happening?
I could.
To be honest, I wasn't sure what was going on most of the time because of the imagery.
It was pretty dense.
You switch you switch gears a lot.
What do you mean switch gears?
You're shifting on your bike, and it was hard to listen to you while you're riding.
Explain
your bike
it
around.
To him, Mark. I don't know. Your overall tone shifts a lot, and I mean, I. It's just one of those things that you won't really be able to tell if it works until you're actually watching it. I guess.
It was very visual, very specific scene. You wrote a whole outline.
Yeah.
Well, if they can make a sequel to Garfield, then I can get a first cool of this.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Listen, they have the title, Tale of Two Kitties, just sitting there.
Yeah, it's like not like they could not do that.
Yeah, it's not like you're not going to use it.
Although, well, Tale of Two Kitties could have been like a really cute standalone film, like that had nothing to do with Garfield.
Well, fine, then I will just shoot a porno entitled Tale of Two Titties.
Okay, well, you're going to do that, and you're not going to make any money, and I'm going to shoot Tale of Two Pussies, and I'm going to make all the money.
Are we still talking about cats?
Are we still recording? Don't let my mom listen to this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you guys have any points for me?
Does that baby come back? That baby from the Chinese place?
Maybe it turns out he killed Kevin Spacey.
Uh oh, baby mafia.
Maybe it turns out Chris Hemsworth is like his lineage is of like the Rage Race, or something. Yes. And the baby is a
he's an Asgardian, right?
Yeah, yeah. But he turned bad. He turned bad.
So it's like, look who's talking to.
What?
It's like, look who's talking.
It's exactly
to.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, look who's talking to. Yeah, yeah.
Well. I mean, that's my idea, and I can't wait to hear what you guys have to pitch, because I'm sure it's going to be shit.
Probably.
Which was one of my original titles, Pitch a Shit, so nobody liked it.
Nope. It's kind of gross.
All right, well, who's up for next week's episode, then?
Not it. Oh, it's Scott.
It's Mr. Potato Chip himself.
Wait, are we still recording?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not done yet. We gotta give you your pointers.
You your plot points.
Specifications, yeah.
Oh, okay, so we can have a record of it?
Yep. Sure.
So I can't weasel out of it?
Correct.
By creating a fake sequel to house all the stuff I was supposed to do?
It's not pitch a franchise. It's pitch a franchise.
Come on.
All right.
Okay, fine.
So what did we decide? We did, like, kind of genre, character, and scene?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a type of movie ready to go here.
Should I write this down?
I would.
Yeah. Or do you want me to just go based on my memory?
I mean, you can just do
That's
it right
what I
now.
Did, and it worked out.
Yeah, write it down.
Okay, so... I'm writing movie.
Yeah, and then you can pick for us. Line. You can, like, decide who you want to ask for a character, who you want to ask for a scene.
Okay. Okay, so, I guess, Mark, give me a character, and then what are the other... Here, you just go. Give me a...
There's a character, a scene, and a genre.
Okay, give me a character.
Okay, Mark. I want you to write a female pirate lord with daddy issues.
A pirate lord?
Female pirate, like a pirate, a leader of pirates. A pirate lord, a pirate king, you know, a high up piratress.
I think you're overestimating the organization. I think
Did you see At World's End?
No.
They got a whole
there's
council.
There's all sorts. There's councils. There's the Pieces of Eight. There's pirate captains.
I was
going to
say, what were they called? Were they the Pieces of Eight?
Yeah. I don't know. They were pirate lords. The Eight Pirate Lords. Yeah.
So this exists within the POC universe.
Within actual pirate universe. They just took that to put it in Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm not telling you have to
I think actual pirates are not that much fun.
Well, actual. This is a romanticized.
I mean, it's up to you what kind of pirates. All I'm saying is a female pirate lord with daddy issues.
Okay.
All right.
Trevor, give him a character.
And then there's, what else? Genre?
Or yeah, give him a genre.
Okay, I've got a genre. I want it to be a movie where a teenaged man or woman falls in love with a supernatural being.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, we're
going to get some good stuff out of this.
We can go, like, cross-universe, and that could be Chris Hemsworth.
I'm saying any kind of...
We're going to make Across the Universe 2, is that what you said?
Yep.
Across the Universe 2, Cloud Atlas.
All right. Now, I think you can make this work. My idea for a scene is that there needs to be... The protagonist has a love interest, and their first kiss takes place. I don't know how you're going to make this happen, but she works at a bank, and he's in his car, and somehow, maybe like through like that tube that the thing comes, they have their first kiss.
Hey, you're an idiot.
Yeah. So. Dude, I could write that out as a really cute scene.
I was going to say, Mark, I think I have an idea for this already. I kind of want to pitch this one.
Then you write it.
No. It's
the
been
rules have been established. No.
Clearly, she falls in love with a kraken, and he sticks his tentacle thing through the tube, and they have the first kiss.
Don't give him ideas. Now you can't use that, because you didn't write that.
Well, wow, guys, what do you guys think? First episode in the bag?
It's in the box.
It's in some sort of.
Should we waste eight more minutes so it's exactly an hour? And just make poop sounds?
I think we should.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, how do we do that?
I don't know. We just keep talking like we were going to keep talking if we stopped recording anyway.
I mean, is anybody doing anything they could plug? As far as projects or anything,
I can plug my Twitter.
Please do.
What's the
Twitter? I'm a fan of my Twitter. It's Pog Paradise. P-O-G Paradise.
Is this true?
Yeah, it really is. I follow.
As in you. I haven't been on it lately, but it's just for jokes and smokes and tokes.
Oh. And blokes.
No, I don't do drugs. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Trevor, what are you doing? What would you like to plug? What's your stuff?
Well, I don't know when this is going to air, but Tyler and I are working on a board game together.
Ooh. This is true.
Called Protector Effect, coming to a computer screen near you. Bless you.
A Kickstarter near you.
Yeah. You can kick us in the coming weeks.
Yes.
And
hopefully Mark will film our Kickstarter video.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it can look legit.
Yeah, I make things sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, what
are you working on now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm writing a book, which I can't
really
promote
yet. I'm genuinely interested.
Okay. But that's going to happen eventually. But as far as stuff I can plug, I'm hopefully going to be updating my vlog soon. I've been vlogging since I moved to Los Angeles. You can check that out at youtube.com/adventurewithmark. And Mark is spelled with a C. And you know, I just released another music video like 2 weeks ago, and I've got another shoot coming up next week. All my music videos and stuff are at markwilkinson.com. And, yeah, that's what's happening.
Very nice.
Yep. Tyler, you do anything else? Or is the board game pretty much your thing right now?
That's my thing, and I'm going to go play laser tag on Sunday.
Oh, jealous.
So I'd like to plug that. If you would like to see pictures or video of me playing laser tag and getting sweaty... you can email me at sweatylasertagguy@gmail.com.
I mean, I could set you up with sweatygmailguy@markwilkinson.com if you want that.
Okay, well, we'll do that. Sweatygmailguy@markwilkinson.com. Yeah, that's what you said. But just put it in the subject laser tag, and then I will respond to you with pictures or video of me playing laser tag.
That's pretty good.
Can I plug something else?
Yeah. Is it your butt?
I'd like to suggest a plug. that the audience, the listeners, plug their ears before listening to the next episode.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. You should
not listen to it.
You should email us at we don't even have an email yet. At picture this
at
gmail.com. Yeah, hopefully we own that email.
We probably do.
It's definitely taken. That's absolutely taken.
I don't know that.
You know there's a picture
we'll
studio
get in touch
out there
with whoever owns that and
offer them $32 for it.
That's the budget of my thing. You can't take that from me.
I just did.
Did you know that we rejected your movie, that it's not going to get made now?
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. I think kind of the basis for the show is that none of the movies are probably going to get made. But
probably.
I'm sure there'll be one.
I don't know.
Yeah. Once we get Howard Johnson on here, it'll be good.
Yeah, let's get him going.
Well, actually, I think I have it, guys.
What do you have?
What have you got?
The Gmail.
Oh, really? No way.
Picture this podcast at gmail.com.
Nice.
Send us your ideas. If you would like to be a guest pitcher on the show, we'd love to have
Ooh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything else we need to say?
No, I mean, everybody should just plug us. They should, like, tell their friends to watch it if they liked it, but listen to it also, because it's not video.
Exactly.
But look at something while you're listening to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't deprive the rest of your senses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And make Actually, sure... I...
What?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, make sure you eat the whole time, because... Scott was eating chips, and I got up and went into the kitchen during that pitch and, like, got some pickles and ate those.
Dude, I am so hungry right now, and I had to reserve myself for this.
Yeah, dude,
if it helps you, if it makes you feel better.
I've eaten, four meals during this.
Including fourth meal?
Yeah. Dude, I bought so many donuts yesterday, and I was going to just, like,
store
them. I already started eating them. I've already gone through a whole bag. It's bad.
Jesus, you have a problem.
But
what are you gonna do?
I don't know, man. I was gonna look into freezing them.
They're like your bread and butter.
They seriously are. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, my favorite thing is to, like, take a whole bag of donuts into the movie theater and eat donuts while I watch a movie.
Wait.
Yeah.
So
I know.
did they just stop making that stuff, or?
Yeah, Hostess.
They
Hostess,
will be.
Yeah, stopped, like, manufacturing and is, like, sending out the rest of the supply that they have now, and that's it.
Okay. So, by the time this airs...
There's probably no more. Somebody said their grocery store is already out of Hostess stuff.
Oh, so, Jesus.
This is disappointing. Because then I could have gone and bought a bunch of Twinkies, sold them for millions of dollars, and made that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if you wait, like, a year or so, probably make bank. I should seriously, like, freeze some of these donuts. Life
now
is,
everyone
life
is
hard.
Woody Harrelson in Zombieland.
Yeah.
The entire world is that character now.
Yeah.
Except I prefer Little Debbie, so I'm doing all right. Too bad.
Right, we've got another minute and 20 seconds to waste.
Let's see.
Should we play the theme song that we don't have yet?
Oh yeah, that'll fill up some time actually. That'll go in.
Ba da
da
da da da da da da.
Picture this.
Or we get to slow down Amazing Grace.
But only say picture this.
Amazing.
No, you're saying the wrong words. You have to say picture this for all the lyrics.
Picture this.
That's it. It ends there.
Can we take audio from a more popular podcast and just fill in the last 30 seconds?
Yeah. Well, we could do that, or we could fill in the whole hour.
Yeah, we're almost there. Come on.
Yeah. No, we can.
Also, if to our listeners, if you're still listening to this, good for you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. I
appreciate it.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like our three friends and our parents.
Yeah. It's just us.
Well, wait, no. There was that Illinois Valley podcast place. Oh, we should be interested. We should plug them.
Yeah.
Yes, Illinois Valley podcast. They're great.
Even though we don't have a relationship with them yet.
Oh, we did it 1 hour.
Okay, can we stop now?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to the first episode of Picture This. I swear to something important to you that the next episode will get better, and each episode will get slightly better until you can almost listen to the first 20 minutes.
Of the first episode.
I am Tyler Am.
Yes. I am and, not Tyler Am.
That's when you guys are supposed McCann. To say your names. I'm. Yes. This has been Tyler Am.
I'm Scott
this
Kane.
Is,
but
I'm Mark Wilkinson.
I like to party.
And I'm also Trevor McCandless. Good night.
I'm also Trevor McCandless.
Good evening and good night.
Good luck.
Goodbye.